In Jesus' name. I'll tell you what. If you stood up, Michael, church growth would be incredible. We'd have 500 people in here next week. So, amen. 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 I just want to, and we're going to acknowledge the folks in March, but I just want you to see it takes, and I don't want to say it takes a village. That sounds too, whatever. But it takes a lot of people to run a church, and a lot of the things that go on, you don't see. But I honestly, truly believe when we stand before the Lord, I really believe these people that work in the nurseries, these people that work downstairs, the people that, I didn't even ask the prayers, people that come on Saturday night to prayer, the people that pray, spend time on their knees, praying for people, praying for others, people that give sacrificially, you don't know who gives and who doesn't. Most people that are real givers do it kind of quietly, unlike me this morning. They don't throw it out there. They just do it quietly. I just believe we're going to be amazed on that day who the Lord honors and recognizes. It's not going to be surprising. I imagine there'll be some preachers, I hope it's not me, they're going to have to go to the back of the bus. They're going to be ready just to charge right forward, and the Lord's going to stop them and say, have a seat, I got about 1,007,160,000,000,000 that are coming before you. So I can't say enough how much we appreciate. I think Linda Kulikowski is working in the nursery this morning, and what a blessing. Last Saturday, I was praying for Pam here, Charlie and I and some others, Sandy, I believe, Larry. Well, I was praying for Pam because just so much, when something doesn't happen, it just tends to fall back on the pastor or the pastor's wife, and if it falls back on me, it's going to fall back on Pam. She's my helpmate. She's the one that helps me in life. And she was just getting so busy with so many things that she was doing. And we prayed for her. And that morning, Evelyn gave her a word. And by the way, that's a part of serving too, to be close to God, in the Word of God, studying the Bible, on fire so you can give someone a word when they need it. You can give someone encouragement. Charlie, you can pray for the sick. You're ready at the drop of the hat to pray for the sick. All those things are a part of what the body of Christ is. We prayed for Pam, and we were really believing God to take her burden. And then Evelyn gave her a word that was exactly that, the very thing. And Tracy, weren't you here? You were here when we prayed for her. And it was exactly what we prayed. And then Linda Kulikowski came up and told Pam she'd take the nursery back. And man, that was a burden off of Pam because Pam doesn't know I'm going to say this, but Joe wasn't feeling good this morning, and Pam's down there working in children's ministry this morning because she wanted to. She wanted Joe Lynn to be able to go home. But what a burden that was off of her shoulders. And you just realize when you're when the buck stops with you, you realize, there's not someone down in children's ministry, or there's not someone in the nursery, or no one's cleaning the church, or there's no soup Nazi, there's nobody to go down there and take charge of something. You realize that what a burden that can be on you, and that it really causes you to appreciate everything everybody is doing. Let me ask you, how much did you like worship tonight with a bunch of people up here in worship? Wasn't that great? That is so much better. And I love, Amy, you do phenomenal by yourself. You do. I'm being serious. But you know what? When you have a group like that, I just think it magnifies it. It just makes it all that much better. So first of all, I want to thank you, everyone, for your service. Kelly, I saw you last week doing the words. That blessed me. I said, Kelly's doing the words now. That's a position that has to be filled. Someone has to do words. So folks, as we go downstairs and you talk at the tables, if you're not volunteering or if you did and you're not, you're no longer doing it, think about somewhere where you can serve. Every time I went into the church, and this isn't my message, I'm going to preach this morning, but every time I went into the church, number one, it's called a house, isn't it? And Joyce, thank you for all the stuff you've done over the years in the church. Every time you have a house, there's household chores. And how many knows, unless you're truly called to it, changing diapers isn't necessarily fun. Maybe if it's your grandbaby, you might really enjoy that. But changing a strange child's diapers. but somebody has to do it. And everything that we do in the church, I know people say, you know, you're too busy. I'm going to talk, you're doing this and that. But the chores have to be done, right? Someone's got to do it. And it's actually, it truly is, when we serve in the church, it really is a way to express our love to Christ. Should not be a burden. It should be a grace on our life. And I'll talk about that a little bit today. But it's also, it's a privilege and an honor to be able to serve one another. The Word of God calls us kings and priests. So I'm not stretching it when I say, when you are at the door and your brothers and sisters are coming in, you are greeting royalty. How many of you ever thought about that? Sister, I was Addie this morning. So when you come in the door, there's a young princess. So if I get to greet you at the door, it's my honor because one of God's princesses is coming in the door. Amen? And it's my privilege to get to greet you. Or Bryce, one of God's young princes is coming in the door. Or I get to serve downstairs and teach kids that you do not know what you're teaching those children at what time in their life. That is going to have an effect on them. I was raised up going to church. I backslid as far back as most people could ever imagine. But always in the back of my head, I had all those Bible lessons. I had all those scriptures. I had all those examples. I knew there were good people in the world, Charlie. I knew there were people that served and honored God, and it was always back there. So when it was my time to come back to God, I had that reservoir of seeds in me that God could pull on. And so you just don't know when you're serving God, how God is using you. I heard a lady say this morning, she's a runner, and she talked about the ripple effect and that, you know, she said she just wants to spend the rest of her life serving. That's what she said, a runner, serving people and helping other people because she really believes that life, and I don't even know that she's a Christian, but she really believes life is like this. It's like a ripple. You affect one person and they affect another and they affect another. And before you know it, Danny, you don't know the kids down there that you're serving or that you're helping. You don't know the effect on our life that that'll take. And you don't know how many people that they're going to bless just because you stepped into their life and blessed them. Amen? All that glitters is not gold, and everything that's up front and shining isn't necessarily bright. It's you doing what God asks you to do, and some of it's pure service. I've worked in children's ministry, and I know what service it is. When I went into a church, the last three churches I was in before Grace Point, the Lord always had me work in kids' ministry and do outreach. He had me do both of them. The children's ministry was a pure service. We didn't always feel like going in on Saturday night around those rambunctious kids and serving them. We didn't always feel like it, but we knew that it was our duty to do, and we gladly did it. And then I got to do outreach too. All of it, if you think about it and you look at things the right way, all of it is a service to God. Just as much as me serving God this morning preaching. How's your serve today? How are you doing in that area of your life? How's your service? Now, there's another area which I'll talk about too. We're gifted too to do things. I'd like to think that I'm gifted to preach or to teach. So there are some things in our ministry, you're just gifted to do it. Evelyn, you got gifts in you, and they're by God's grace. God just gives you grace to do some stuff. He gives me grace to do some stuff. And the Bible says, whatever gift you have from God, whatever grace that's in your life, do it. As to the Lord, and it says, do it serving one another. Take all your strength, all your energy, all the grace that you have, and the Word of God says, serve one another with those gifts. They didn't say pour those gifts or focus those gifts back to yourself. It said, take the gifts that you have and pour them out towards somebody else. That is a loving, a fragrant offering to God when we do that. Amen. Using our gifts to serve others. And Denny, I know I probably say more than I should, and I don't want to embarrass you, but Denny and I were talking this week, and Denny, that affected me more than you realize. Our meeting, Denny's going to go back to Haiti. He's not sure exactly when he's going to go back, but he wants to spend more time there, and he's really been praying a lot about it and what God wants him to do. But one thing he said that he wants to do is God's put on his heart taking care of children in Haiti. Now, I don't know how many's been out of the country, like into a third world area. So you know the needs there. You know I've been to places where kids have scabies. You've seen that, I'm sure, Danny. They have scabies all over, and maybe even flies flying around, and their bellies are distended, and they might even be playing in filth or ignored, or just kids in horrible situation. And sometimes kids get abandoned, and maybe an older sister or a younger brother takes them up. And there is a real need in these third world countries to go in and serve these kids. And so Denny's talking about, like, well, that is, I believe, that's a calling, and that's a grace on his life, right? It's something that God's pushing on him, something that God's placing on him, something that moves him, and he's going to respond to that because God's given him a grace. But within that grace, here at Grace Point, we're all attached in some way to Denny because he belongs to this local body. And, you know, we give to Haiti, and we're going to continue on your check. You just put Haiti. You give your tithes and offerings, then you give extra, and you put Haiti and circle on it, and please do that. Give to Haiti. And what Denny wants to do is he wants to take care of babies down there. He wants to continue to feed kids down there. That is a grace on his life. But Paul said, when you partner with me, you get to be a partaker of the grace on my life. In other words, Mike, everything that Denny's doing, here's how good God is. And here's how God says it in the Word. This isn't my message. This is all just introduction to something. But here's how good God is. God said, if you give a prophet, that's like a modern-day preacher, a prophet preaching for the Lord, if you give a prophet a cup of cold water in the name of Jesus, you'll get a reward for it. Isn't that amazing? He said, you can give a little child a cup of cold water in the name of Jesus, and you'll get a reward for it. Paul said, when you partner with me, the grace that's on my life will get on your life. Isn't that something? The grace on my life, when you partner with me, when you believe in me and you help me in my ministry, the grace that's on my life will automatically get on your life. You know, the Bible talks about a prophet's reward. You help a prophet, you get a prophet's reward. You help, and Denny, a righteous man taking care of kids and hungry people, if you help a righteous man, if we help Denny, we get a righteous man's reward. Has anybody ever read that in the Scripture? Who's read that in the Word? You know it's in there. Yeah, it's in there. This thing was never meant, Charlie, and you know you were a missionary, and sometimes you felt like you were on your own, didn't you? Be honest. Many times, you're on your own. I think Grace Point, and I'm not bragging on me, I'm bragging on Grace Point. I think Grace Point was one of the first churches that came along and said, hey, we're going to support, you know, Charlie in what he's doing. And there's a lot of missions out there, and you got to be careful, make sure God is guiding you and you're making the right decisions, but we chose to support Charlie. So anything that Charlie's doing or did, Grace Point had a hand in it. Your life had a hand in it. Don't be surprised when you stand up before God and God says, thank you for feeding me in Haiti. And you look at God and you scratch your head and say, when did I feed you in Haiti? So you don't remember when you were putting those 20s in the offering and you were given this and that? You don't remember when you, well, yeah, Lord, that's when you fed me. And I got the food. Thank you. For as much as you have done it to the least of these, this is literal. As much as you have done it to the least of these, my brethren, even the little ones, you've done it to me. It's powerful. When we support one another, we are so much bigger together than we are alone. We can do so much more. You talk about church growth. I know some people like small churches, and there's an advantage to being a small church. There's family, there's fellowship, it's good. But one of the advantages to growing is when you grow, you can reach out further, and you can do more for God. We pray we'll be as big as God wants us to be, but there is something good about it when you extend your reach out. But when we partner together, when I get behind you and you get behind me, we all increase and we're all blessed. Isn't that better than fussing and fighting, which we're not doing? We have a no fussing zone. When you walk in the back door at Grace Point, there's a no fussing zone. It says, do not fuss. If you want your fuss button, leave it at the door, and on the way out, you can grab it and just grab your, and it'd be even better if you and your wife both grabbed it. And you could fuss all the way home. But this is a no-fussing zone because we really believe we're all connected together. And if I've got good stuff in me and I'm touching you, I'm putting good stuff in you. And Mike, you're bringing good stuff to me. And we're interchanging. We're encouraging one another. We're blessing one another. We want to encourage Denny in what he's doing. I want to encourage Amy. How many of you know Amy's taken 7 girls with her to up near Cleveland here in about a month to go to a Love is Red conference? Anybody know that? Couple of you know that. That's really good for the kids in the church, and Amy's a part of that, and we're a part of Amy. So if the kids get blessed, parents get blessed, we get blessed, we're all a part of that because we're all attached together. If you live that way, if you live with the consciousness, someone say, God, I want to be a part. I want to be a part. God, I want to be a part. I'm not the whole picture. That's what body life is meant to be, a mutual encouragement. So I want to thank you for your service. We can't do it alone. And if you can serve in areas, I know Linda is back there in the nursery. I doubt if she was scheduled back there today. She needs help in the nursery. If God's tugging on your heart to go back there and help out in the nursery, help out. If you can help out in children's, help out. If you're free on Fridays or you can make a meal and you want to help the homeless, drug addicts, please help out. Ask God. And when you go downstairs, ask questions to people about their ministries and maybe something would work out. And if nothing else, you can pray for those ministries. You can pray for those people. I'm just amazed, Tracy, that you're outdoing us on Wednesday night. You know, evangelist Tracy Pierce pulling in more numbers than Grace Point is on Wednesday nights. That's amazing. But you know what, Tracy? I'm a part of that. I'm a piece of that. I have some skin in the game. Pam and I are in your life, and we're believing in you. So anything you do, you're an extension of Grace Point, and we get some of it too. Amen. Amen. We get some of that grace on our life. We get some of that blessing on our life. Don't you want that? That's how grace works. God has shown me recently, it's like there's areas of my life, Charlie, where I'm working hard, and I'm really trying to do something, and I'm fighting, and I see somebody without even lifting the finger do 3 times better than me. I'm like, God, that's not fair. And God said, Brad, that's grace. I said, I want some grace. I want some grace, Lord. If that's grace, I want some grace. You know, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He found favor. Folks, we all need grace. Man, you look at people and you go, I work harder. I'm better looking. I'm smarter. Well, you know, 1 out of 3 ain't bad. You know, God, you know, and so we want a piece of that. And God's saying, Brad, everything I do, I do it through my grace. So we need to be coming to the throne of grace to get grace to do God's will in our life. I need victory, so I need grace. It's not so much, there's even a scripture in the Bible that says, it's not the man that runs, Denny, and it's not the man that wills, it's the God that shows mercy. That's the important person in this equation. You can run all day, you can fight all night, but if God is not watching the city, if God is not watching the house, if God is not looking over you, you are walking in vain, you are working in vain, you're just frustrating yourself. Someone say amen. You get God in your business, things are going to change. You get God in your marriage, things are going to change. You get God in your ministry, things are going to change. You get God on your sports team, things are going to change. There's something that's going to happen when God gets involved in it. God is a living God. He's not a dead God. When He gets involved in your business, He can resurrect dreams. He can resurrect ideas. He can resurrect bodies. He can resurrect your ministry. He can resurrect marriages. He can resurrect you. Amen? Come on, He can. We need the grace of God. You can't work for it. That's what the Bible says. We are looking diligently. We're looking diligently for the grace of God. I know there's something out there that I can't earn. And the Lord showed me this, Ken. He said, there are some people, God's told me, there are some people. He says, Brad, I am trying to bless people, but people will not get in position for my blessing. The reason Zacchaeus was blessed by God was he climbed up in a tree and he was peeking his head out looking at God, and God, he put himself in proximity to Jesus, and when he put himself in proximity to Jesus, there was a blessing in it. Amen? Amen. We got to position ourselves sometime for a miracle. I said, God, I want to bless these people so bad. He goes, Brad, they're not in position. I'm trying to position them not to earn my grace, but to get in position. Every time I try to position them, they pop out of my grace. They pop out. The Word of God says we should walk in the Spirit. Do you know the Spirit is called the Spirit of grace? How many knew that? So don't frustrate the Spirit of grace. The Spirit is called the Spirit of grace. God has this thing so arranged that if we walk in the Spirit, we're going to walk in His grace, and God is going to position us right where we need to be. There's testing, there's trials, there's temptation, there's 1,000 ways to get off the path, but if we stay on that path and we stay in position to God through Jesus, your blessing, your grace is on the way. Someone say amen.
Amen.
And I am convinced, because it bothers me, There are people in this church that I want your miracle more than you do. I mean it. I prayed more about your miracle than you have. I'm sure of it. Asking God, God, come on. And the Lord says, Brad, pray that they get in position for their miracle. This thing all works by grace. I'll tell you something else. We're talking about serving today, and we're going to talk about serving with grace. But I'll tell you, something else about how grace works. Everything is given so much by God's grace. I think the Lord sometimes allows people to be blessed that you just don't think they should be blessed. You've worked hard all your life and they're getting ahead. And I think when you see that, you're God's child, you're God's love child, I think sometimes God's looking to see how you're going to respond. I really do. He said, are you going to rejoice with them? Are you going to celebrate with them? Are you going to get it through your head that this thing comes by grace? It comes through my favor. It comes through election. It comes by my choice. It's not the man that wills. It's not the man that runs. Are you going to get it? And if you get it, you'll start celebrating every time anybody else ever gets anything from God. Amen? How many of you have ever done, like you've really been on a roll? You paid your tithes, you've been to church, you prayed, you taught in Sunday school, and you did all these beautiful things, and then the guy next to you that hadn't done anything, all of a sudden God just dumped on them and blessed them. Has that ever happened to anybody? I'm the only one, just two people, me and Tim. Me, Tim, and Sandy. I'll tell you what, folks, God is good, and the Word says God causes the rain to fall on the just and the unjust. Well, that doesn't mean, and I've talked a lot about it, that we just continue in sin, that grace may abound. I preached about it before, and I'll preach about it again. But God has grace for us, and as we walk in the Spirit of grace will be in our life, and we will position ourselves right where God wants us to be. Amen? That's kind of my introduction. Flip over, if you would. I'm just going to give a short scripture here and talk about this a little bit. I want to talk about the grace of serving or serving God by grace. Folks, when we say serving God, what's that scripture? Who has the bulletin? Can I see the front of the bulletin? This is one of my scriptures in my message. Minty didn't know it, but it was one of them. The scripture says in 1 Peter 4:10, based on the gift, would someone say each one? You guys are quiet. Jim, would you say each one?
Each one.
Each one, thank you. No trick. Based on the gift each one has received, use it to serve others. Here's the grace of God. Here's how grace works. As good managers of the varied grace of God. That's a powerful verse. As each one of you, based on the gift that each one of you has received, use it to further your ministry. What does it say? Use it to serve others as good managers or stewards of the varied grace of God. That's 1 Peter 4:10. God is giving us grace to serve one another. So it really becomes our privilege and our honor, and it becomes our spiritual act of worship when we allow the grace of God to work in our life and we take that grace and we serve others. Now, sometimes, and I've done this before many times, when I dry up and when I don't feel like serving You know the old song, life is so unnerving to a servant who's not serving. You ever heard that song? Amen. Beauty and the Beast, Lemieux. Was that Lemieux that sang that song? Life is so unnerving to a servant who's not serving. When I dry up sometimes, when I do, you know what I love to do? I love to go to the throne of grace and say, Lord, I need grace because I feel like I'm drying up. I feel like the grace on my life, Lord, just sometimes I feel like I'm drying up. God, would you pour out your grace on me? God, would you just let me walk into your presence? Lord, would you refresh me? And I begin to worship God. I feel like there's a renewal. God extends more grace. God gives me more grace. We can never exhaust the grace of God. And then we go back. And when we go back and we're filled with the grace of God, which is the Spirit of grace, we go back into our service. There's a joy in it. The word serving in the kingdom butts right up to love. There's nothing dutiful or legalistic or binding by the word service. We've been beat up all our lives about what service is, serving God and doing things you don't want to do and giving sacrificially. You know, the Bible says God loves hilarious givers. He loves ridiculous givers. He loves people that just give just out of their heart and they flow. They're not grudging. That's what the Word of God says. They're not grudging. They're not stingy. They're not holding back. They're not wondering whether they should, or they're just giving hilariously, or they're giving out of their heart. The Bible calls that a grace. It says it's the grace of giving. Didn't say it's the law of giving. It calls it the grace of giving. When we allow the grace of God to work in our life, it works in every area of our life, and it works in our service. Many of us, you know, I see couples go to basketball games and football games and baseball games and cross-country games, and it is not hard for people to go watch their kids. It is not hard. I know people that go to every basketball game that's out there, even the ones their kids aren't playing in. If they got a boy, they'll go to the girls' game. They got a girl, they'll go to the boys' game. They won't miss a game. And the reason they don't miss a game, they love their kids. They've got the grace of God. They want to support their kids. It's the easiest thing in the world to do. But the real power and grace of God is when we learn to love one another, when we learn to serve one another, when we learn to serve babies with scabies in Haiti just as much as we love our own kids. When we learn to serve other people and prioritize other people just as much as we do our family. When Jesus talked about hating your life and hating mom and dad and hating your uncles and, you know, your wife and your kids, he wasn't telling you you literally hate your kids. He was saying your allegiance to the kingdom of God needs to be your primary and foremost allegiance in your life. And it comes by grace. It comes because you were saved by grace. God put a new spirit in you. God put a spirit of grace in you. And those things that were once hard, those things that you once couldn't do, God put that spirit of grace in you. And when we get to know God and when we walk in the spirit of grace, this stuff, Denny, just flows right off of us. It's the easiest thing in the world to serve somebody. It's not grudging and it's not hard. I would tell you, I believe if it's hard and it's grudging, it's not grace and it's not God. See, Brother Brad, what do I do? You better get into your prayer closet and go to the throne of grace and say, God, I need some grace. Because everything I'm doing is hard. Everything I had someone tell me, well, I've served enough in church, I'm done. I said, no, you're not done. When did God, there was a man that said he had a vision of heaven, and he ran into King David in heaven, and he said King David in heaven was ridiculous in this vision that he had, because everywhere King David was going, he was trying to serve somebody. Do you need some water? Are you comfortable? What can I do for you? And it just poured out of him. It made him a beautiful king, an awesome king. Our King Jesus left the throne of glory. He was God glorified. He was one with the Father. He lived with God. He was one with God. The angels worshiped him. Right, there was nobody higher than Jesus, and he came down to earth as a man. And when he came down to earth as a man, he came down not as a king, but as a servant. And can you imagine Jesus humping along saying, do I got to forgive that guy again? Didn't I just pray for that guy last week? Oh my goodness, here he comes again. What did he do this time? Can you imagine Jesus doing that? God, I'm tired of it. I'm done. I got to get out of here. I'm taking the first boat out of here. I changed my mind. I'm not dying for them. They're all rascals. They're never going to get it. They're not worth it. I'm done. I think I'll go become a public speaker somewhere and make $1 million every speech I get. No, that's not what Jesus did. He had the grace of God in his life. He had the, because he was God, and he walked in that grace. He became a servant, and then he went lower and lower. And I'm telling you, the lower we go, and the more that we serve, and the more that we love, this thing becomes a funnel. It becomes a tornado of love. This thing will grow in you. We start really loving our neighbor. We start really caring about other people. We start really extending ourselves out, and God will jump all over that. His grace will jump all over that. His mercy will jump all over that, and we will get filled with the Spirit, because the Spirit is the Spirit of grace. We're no longer comparing, we're no longer judging, we're no longer looking down, we're lifting up. We're trying to help somebody. And they fell again. Okay, I don't care if you fell again. I want to help you. I don't care if you fell again. Just like it was your own kid. Wouldn't you do that for your own kid? I know you would. I know how people are with their kids, and it's good to love your kids and be with your kids. It's good, but it's supernatural when you love other people's kids. It's good when you love your kids. You should love your kids, but it's supernatural when you love other people's kids. It's supernatural when you love your neighbor. It's supernatural when you extend yourself. And sometimes, don't you think Jesus ever got tired? Don't you think Paul ever got tired of getting beaten and rejected? Don't you think you ever got tired? Sometimes you do get tired. You need more grace. I want to read this scripture to you. I got a couple. Turn over to 1 Corinthians 15. You guys okay? You still with me? I feel like I'm hopping around a lot today, literally and spiritually. 1 Corinthians 15, 10. Okay, verse 9. Here's Paul's opinion, 1 Corinthians 15:10 or 15:9. Paul says, "For I am the least of the apostles, and I do not even deserve to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God." That is who I am. Remember when Paul said, "I am the chief of sinners"? That's what he's talking about, his former life. His former life. I persecuted the church of God. Who I am in myself, I'm a hater, I'm religious, I'm injurious, I murdered people, I killed people. That's who I am. I am not worthy to be called an apostle, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. I wish somebody would say, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. Amen, sister. I am what I am. If you knew what a rascal sinner you were, you would say it proudly. I'm only what I am. I'll say it. I am only what I am by the grace of God. You say, that's not very much, Brad. What's all I got? But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. That's New International. King James says, his grace was not in vain, I believe. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Whether then it was I or they, this is what we preach and this is what we believe. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. When we're working, I've been real busy in my life, and it's been the easiest, most blessed times of my life. Busy serving the Lord, enjoying it, seeing people get saved, seeing kids get fed, going on mission trips, running to and fro, having the time of my life. People tell me, you need to slow down, Brad. I said, why? I'm having a ball. I'm having a blast. God's grace is pouring in me. Good things are happening. I saw someone get healed yesterday. I fed orphans a week ago. I got money going out of my pocket helping people. I'm down on Southside witnessing to people, telling kids about Jesus. Don't slow me down. I'm having too much fun. Amen. And I've had times in my life where I was practically doing nothing and it wore me out. Wore me out. Inactivity wore me out. Made me lazy. Slowed me down. It was hard just to get my creaky bones up and go to church on Wednesday night. Why? because you're such a good guy, Brad. No, because of the grace of God. The grace of God. Whatever you're called to do, Paul says, whatever you're called to do, do it with all your might. Just like you're serving Jesus. Take the grace of God that God is giving you, pour it into what you're doing. I heard a lot of wise people say, you know, you don't know what God's calling you to do. You don't know what the Lord wants you to do. Wherever you're at in life, whatever you're doing, do it with all your might. Do it as unto God, and God's going to bless you. He'll take you from where you're at to where He wants you, and probably overseas. And He'll work in your life, and He'll use you. Start where you're at. Pour all of your love in it. Pour your heart into it. Pour your spirit into it and say, God, this is what I know that You've called me to do. This is where I'm at. This is what I'm doing. I'm going to do it as unto You. And watch what God does. Watch how He inflames your heart. Watch how He turns the gospel on. Take the words of Christ and say, God, put this stuff in me so I can act on it. Make this stuff real to me. Pour it into my heart so I can pour it out. Watch what God does in your life. Or you can sit there and get tired and rock. Sometimes rocking's a lot of fun. I'm going to read it again. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and His grace to me was not in vain. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was in me. You're not all called to be Paul, and you're not called to be this person, not called to be, but you absolutely have a gift, and you absolutely have a grace, and that gift and that grace is in you to serve somebody else. Here in the body, at your home, your extended area in your life, Haiti, wherever it's at, that gift and that grace, and it's not just you four and no more. If your faith is only for your four and no more, you got a small faith. It's good that your four and no more go to heaven. I want that too. But if that's all you're believing for, that's pretty puny. Jesus didn't die for you to believe for your four and no more. He died to save the world, and He's in you, and He wants to give you grace to do what He's called you to do. I cannot tell you what that is. I don't know what it looks like, but His grace and gift is in you. And some of you, you're so fired up right now. You know that's true. Just take a step. Just seek the Lord. Say, God, put this grace. And whatever your hand finds to do, put your heart into it and ask God to bless it. And He will. You may have a little to do. You may have a lot to do. And guys, get this. We're all in here together. Whatever you do that's good, if you're a part of this body, then I get a piece of it. And whatever I do, if you're supporting this body, you get a piece of it because we're all in this thing together. Someone say amen, and I'll bring this thing to a close. Amen. You got a job right now. You're gifted at it. Do it with your heart. God will bless it. There's people in your life. There's people that you need to serve. You know, do you know sometimes it's inconvenient to go out of your way to pick someone up to church, but there's a grace in it? Amen. There's a grace in it. Sometimes it's inconvenient to stop what you're doing and go clean the church, but there's a grace in it, there's a reward in it, and there is a blessing in it. When the Lord went to choose His evangelist, His healing evangelist, His revivalist, He went and picked out a deacon that was already serving. Did you know that? Stephen was serving. He was waiting on tables, and he was serving. And God looked, hey, there's a guy that's faithful in what he's doing. He's loyal. He's committed in what he's doing. And He says, I can't hold him back. He poured out His spirit on that guy, and Stephen became a healing evangelist, better than Benny Hinn. He became a powerful healing evangelist. He was serving God, and everything he was doing it with all his might, and God put His hand on him and blessed him. Because if you're faithful in something that's small, you're going to be faithful in something that's big. That's just a fact. You ever been an employer? You know that's true. If you're faithful in something that's small, folks, let us seek the grace of God. Let us pray to God and say, God, this is what Paul did. I preached it a few weeks ago. Paul, when he encountered Jesus as Lord, he said, Lord, what do You want me to do? That should be all of our hearts. Lord, what do You want me to do? And then God will give you the grace to do it. Amen?
Amen.
I'm going to pray so we can go eat soup, okay? How many of you say, Brother Brad, that message was for me? Pop your hand. I'm going to see your hand. That was for you. Amen. She's praying. Okay. Let's pray. I want to pray for you. I know it was for you. I know it was for you. It wasn't exactly what I had prepared, but I know it was for you. Father, I pray for all of us, for the grace of God. God, that we don't reject. Sometimes the grace of God, the Spirit of God comes to us and we say no. Even though God's offering us riches, blessing, and grace, we'll turn around and say, no, I think I got a better idea. And really, Lord, we'll live for the old creation and not for the new creation. We'll live out of the old man rather than living out of the new man. That new man has grace. That new man looks like Jesus. That new man has grace all over him. Father, help us to live out of the new creation. Help us to walk in the Spirit. God, help us to avail ourselves of your grace. God, not going out and running to and fro, but following your will as we go. I pray for this church, God, that we would be on fire with what you're calling us to do. God, that it would be our reasonable service, and we would offer our bodies to you as a living sacrifice, God, as a reasonable service because of your grace on our life, Lord. Let it not be duty. Let it not be religion. Let it be, God, joyous. Let it be powerful, God, because you're in it. Bring that repentance to us, Lord. Bring that mindset to us, Lord. Some in this church right now are really struggling. It's hard for them to get their heads above water. God, I pray for a double dose of grace in their life. And some are really struggling, Lord, and they just need grace right now. They need you to cover them because they can't get their heads above water. God, that's why we're here, to extend grace, Lord. I pray for your people, Lord. I pray for me. I pray for us, Lord. We desire to live in your favor, your blessing, and your grace. Let it be so. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Please come join us for soup. If you're a youth, we'll see you tonight at 6. The rest of you, we'll see you.